B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Chad Gray from Hell Yes on Talking Rock with Meltdown today, and there's a lot to talk about. This is the first time I've had a chance to talk to him since the death of Vinnie Paul. We talked a lot about VP. As a matter of fact, I asked him about the first time he ever met the legend.
Morgan Rose comes over, he's like, man, you gotta come in and meet VP. I'm like, okay.
The new record drops on September 27th. It's called Welcome Home. Chad tells me that, yeah, Vinnie Paul did complete all the drum work on the record before his passing. He talked to me about the flavor of the album.
You know, we're not always all heavy. We're not always all emotional. We're not always all this or all that. There are many exposures with many emotions in the human experience, and we try to, we kind of pride ourselves on being a very diverse band.
Stone Sour Ray Mayorga is now in the band. We talked about him filling the shoes of VP.
We're not going to try to replace the irreplaceable. And he understood that metaphor. You know what I mean? He's like, okay, cool.
Chad Gray from Hell Yeah is my guest today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, a big thank you for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast, and a special one for you today with Chad Gray from the band Hell Yeah. I didn't think this interview was going to be so emotional, and there was a few times that I could kind of feel myself like welling up a little bit. I knew VP a little bit. He was an acquaintance and a friend of mine. I didn't hang out at his house or, you know, party with him and stuff, but I saw him, you know, a bunch of times in Vegas. I'd bump into him. I'd text him all the time about hockey. The first time I met him was back in the Pantera days, back around 1993. I think I had dinner with the entire band or something. That was like a lifetime ago. I'd bump into him here and there, you know, always super nice and just a good guy. I think I saw him and his brother with Damage Plan in January of 04. Then, of course, Dime was killed in December of that year. And then the first time I interviewed him, after the passing of his brother, this is where I think we really became friends in kind of a weird way. I had asked him, how come Phil and Selmo wasn't invited or wasn't welcome to the funeral or something like that? And VP just said in his way, hey, man, yeah, I don't really want to comment on that. And so I'm like, okay, cool, no problem. So I moved right along. I actually took that part of the interview and I actually cut it out. I'm like, you know what? Because the rest of the interview was so good. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to leave that. I probably overstepped my bounds. It was my fault. So it kind of bothered me a little bit. It really bothered me a couple days later when a VP actually called my boss and said, hey, what's up with Meltdown? Throwing me under the bus, asking me about Phil and different things like that. And I felt bad about that. And so there were two things that VP and I had in common. We had music and our love for hockey. And I thought, you know, I should really kind of smooth things out with Vinny because he's a good dude. I didn't want him mad at me. I didn't think that... I thought that I'd kind of overstepped my bounds, and I just wanted to kind of smooth things over with them. So this was after the lockout, and during the lockout in 04, 05 with the NHL, I made friends with a bunch of NHL guys. I'd play hockey with them all the time and whatnot. So Nick Lindstrom, the captain and legendary defenseman for the Detroit Red Wings, lived by me, and we became friends. And I asked him if he would sign an 8x10, which I had gotten, for Vinny. And so he signed it to Vinny, keep up the good work. And I framed it. And I went to the show that night. And I was in an empty theater, you know, before they opened the doors or whatever. And I walked over to one of his guys. And I say, listen, I got this for Vinny. I wanted to say hi to him real fast. And didn't tell him anything about why I'd gotten it. So anyways, the roadie or whoever, security, whatever, looked at it. And he says, oh, yeah, VP's going to want to talk to you. So a couple minutes later, VP comes out of the back and I give him this thing and I say, listen, dude, man, I feel like I overstepped my bounds when I asked about Phil on our interview. And I just want to say I'm sorry. And I hope that this smooths things over. And VP in his typical way just said, hey, man, you don't got to apologize, man. All good. You know, the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. He loved the picture. Years later, he would tell me it was hanging in his pool room at his house. And from that point on, we became friends. And every time I'd do an interview with him or whatnot, he would always, you know, bring up hockey and different things like that. So I saw him in November, about 6 or 7 months before he passed away. And of course, he was poo-pooed. If you want to watch the video, it's classic. It's the pinned tweet on my Twitter at Meltdown WRIF. It is classic. And it was Vinny's idea. He is hammered. We're at the House of Blues in Vegas. And he decides, Let's make a video. I'm like, okay, fine. So we did. And it's definitely well worth the watch. Like I said, at Meltdown WRIF. But anyhow, then of course, you know, he went through and he passed away in June after the hockey playoffs. We were texting back and forth. He texted me the night that Vegas Knights lost like a bunch of times. And, you know, Vinny loved to use the emojis. I think I texted him once I'd gotten this this Dime Vision record on Record Store Day. And I texted him, I'm like, dude, I can't believe I pulled some favors and I got this. And he texted me back, like, you know, the praying hands and the hearts and stuff like that. And, you know, I mentioned with Chad here, I always felt that a part of him was obviously missing after his brother died, because those guys, as many people know, were attached at the hip. So anyhow, enough of my story about a VP, just a really good, solid dude. Loved the guy. Missed texting with him, of course, about the NHL playoffs, even though his team is out. But both teams, Dallas and Vegas. But anyways, it's a killer interview with Chad. Chad's so great to talk to. And I just hope nothing but good things for these guys moving forward. Once again, thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Let's get on with it. Here's Chad Gray from Hell Yeah.
Meltdown!
How are you?
Good. I'm melting down.
Yeah, there you go. Aren't we all? Well, good to hear your voice again, and good that you guys are back in action, of course, with the new record dropping on September 27th. Welcome home. And I guess, I mean, you know, to be honest with you, I'm not even really sure where to start, but let's just start right there with Welcome Home. Tell me about the single. Tell me about the, and how you guys decided to name this record Welcome Home.
It started with the song. It was actually the first song we wrote, despite kind of the dynamic of it and the emotion of it and stuff like that. Vinny actually heard that song probably 10 million times. And that song, through the process of writing it, just kind of named itself that. It was weird. It's kind of a longer story about how that happened. But, you know, as we got through the record and we, you know, and it was one of those whoa moments, like when we named the song, and I was like, wow, that's a really cool name. Like, that's what it should be called, because it was called something else before. And, you know, then obviously we went through what we went through, and it just seemed appropriate, you know, for because we do believe that Vinny went home, you know what I mean, to his brother and his mother, and, you know, kind of an homage to him, you know what I mean, with the title. But it was, you know, it was a song title first, and then, you know, as it kept going, you know, and we got to the end of the record, you know, there's all these names getting thrown back and forth. Let's call it this and all that. I'm like, why don't we just call it Welcome Home? Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, okay. And everybody's like, okay. Like, can't argue with it.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of when I saw the name for the new record and stuff. And, of course, you know, like I said, September 27th, that drops. Can't wait to hear this. And is Vinny on the entire album? Was his stuff done?
Yes, everything was done. It was all his drums.
Okay. Yeah, the last time I saw VP was after Guns N' Roses in Las Vegas. It was in, I want to say November, about 6-7 months before he passed away. And he would text me all the time about hockey and different things. And you just mentioned his brother. And it's like, you know, I always got this feeling, and I obviously didn't know Vinny as well as you did, but whenever I'd text him or something, I always got this feeling like there was always a big, giant piece of him missing. Did you get that as well?
I mean, it was, but the thing was, and it's what's making this process easier for us to move forward and keep on keeping on, in his own words,
yeah,
is that Vinny was probably the best teacher we could have ever had as far as how to carry on the legacy of someone. He took such pride in carrying on his brother's legacy, and we just fell right into line with that. I mean, that was the Hell Yeah mission, was to keep Dime's name and legacy alive. So, I mean, that's absolutely what we're going to do. And of course, there was a piece of it missing or whatever, but I think that it was, not that we could ever replace that, but I think that the role that he played in Hell Yeah and what Hell Yeah played in his life, did help fill some of that void, you know, because he knew that his brother would want him to play. And he did his mourning and grieving, and he got through it, and he came back to doing what he loved, you know. And I think it made him, I think that he knew Dime was very proud of him for doing that. It's such a big step. And I think he really embraced that.
Do you remember the first time you met VP?
I do.
Yeah. Was it when you were with Mudvayne or what?
I was with Mudvayne. I went to the clubhouse and it was funny because I was like, I just turned on the bus or whatever, and Morgan Rose comes over and he's like, "Man, you got to come in and meet BP." I'm like, "Okay, whatever." So he got me off the bus and he drove me across the parking lot. And as I was walking up, Vinny was stumbling down the side thing that was, because him and Don bought a limo years ago because they used to always rent limos. He's like, "Well, fuck it, let's just buy one." So he bought one. So he was, they were like two or three people are dragging him to his limo, but he's just wasted. And then, he gets in the limo, and I'm just standing there like, am I going to meet this guy or what? You know, at that point, I'm like, who cares? I don't even know who the hell I'm going to meet right now. And that guy, you know, so Vinny would know that guy, though. But Morgan leans in, and next thing you know, Vinny just pops right out like he had just, like the limo, just being inside the limo for 2 seconds, sucked all of the drunk out of him. And he just pops right back out, and he's like, and Morgan's like, "Hey, man, this is Chad from Mudvayne." He's like, "Oh, man, he's like really nice to me." He's like, "Come on, let's go inside and get a shot." We walk back in and or whatever, and then we just walked in. That was the first time I'd been in the clubhouse. It's the first time I ever walked in, and it was just like gold records and memorabilia and shit everywhere and stuff. And we're standing there, and I was like, "Man, this is a really cool place you got." And he's like, "Don't suck, does it?" I'm like, "No, it doesn't." He does a shot with me and turns around and walks back out. He's back in the limo and he was gone. That was it. Got out of the limo, fully reinvigorated, comes in, tells me the place doesn't suck, does a shot with me, goes back out, the limo leaves.
Dude, that's so classic, man. Yeah, those guys. Yeah, those guys told me about that one time. They're like, "Oh yeah, all the girls are bare down there," and they had all sorts of stories, man. Those guys were great.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, it was fun.
So, tell me about the rest of the record. Of course, you talked about the single and stuff. Give me some of the flavor of the rest of the stuff,
dude. It's really diverse. It's like probably the most, and we just kind of prided ourselves on that. We're a super organic band, and everybody brings something to the table, and we always listen because everybody in a band is generally a sounding board. No one person, you know, came in and like, "This is how it's going to be." We didn't feel it would be organic that way, you know, so we always listened. And sometimes, you know, songs would be Vinny's brainchild. Sometimes they would be mine. Sometimes they would be Tom's. And, you know, you just take these ideas and just, you know, everybody throw their 2 cents on them or shut them down or whatever. And it's, you know, it's a great song. It would turn into an amazing song. And, you know, so we just believed in the organic aspect of writing. So, you know, we're not always all heavy. We're not always all emotional. We're not always all this or all that. There are many emotions in the human experience, and we try to, we kind of pride ourselves on being a very diverse band. And, you know, we've always been that way. And, you know, even more so when we started working with Kevin, Blood for Blood is where we really turned the barge around and got back to being who we were, you know, individually, and bringing that into the collective fold of what we were as Hell Yeah. You know, because Vinny was one of my favorite drummers in the world, you know, and I was one of his favorite singers. And he loved the fact that I could scream and yell and sing. And I loved the fact that he played for the song. He could just lay back and just kick twos and fours, or he could go,
right,
go crazy. And, you know, Tom was one of my favorite guitar players. A lot of melody, but still heavy as shit, you know. And we just embrace that, man, and we just roll with it. But it's a really diverse record, you know. But, you know, both the songs that people have heard now, Welcome Home and 333, there's probably nothing else on the record that's anything like either one of those two. Maybe in the same vein, as there's other heavy songs and there's other emotional or, you know, more deep-seated emotional tracks like the Welcome Homes and stuff like that. And, yeah, it's just a really wide scope, I guess I could say.
It's so cool.
It kind of goes from yin to yang, you know?
Yeah, it's so cool, too. You got one of my other friends, Roy from Stone Sour. I've had the pleasure to get to know him over the last couple of years. And that's really cool. How'd you come about getting Roy?
Roy just, I don't know how his name popped in that. I think I went and saw Corey play in Vegas here, and just kind of hanging out with him backstage just briefly or whatever. And I can't even remember a pod, like, that's how it came up or something. I just said something to Corey. I was like, so what do you think? What would you think about Roy? I was like, because I know Stone Tyler's done and you're going to do Slipknot and stuff like that. He's like, that's a really good idea. He's like, but you better get on him fast because he's a busy guy. And I like hit him up right away. And, you know, Corey, you know, sent kind of a, so I was cold calling him, you know, kind of hit him up. And, you know, Roy and I started talking, and I've known Roy for a while, and he's just one of the most beautiful human beings on the planet. I just, an amazing guy and just a smashing drummer, unbelievable drummer. And, you know, his name just came into the fold and we started talking, and I'm like, this is the fit. Because, and this was the thing, it's like, we didn't want to get anybody that didn't absolutely love Vinny and that Vinny didn't absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't just kind of want to get some YouTube kid that could play Becoming, you know,
right,
out of the basement, you know what I mean? Or, you know what I mean? There was some unknown or some super known. We didn't want that either. We didn't care. We just wanted somebody that had a common connection, the mutual respect and admiration for Vinny, as well as Vinny having mutual respect and admiration for them. And Roy fit that. He fit that bill. I mean, Vinny absolutely loved him. You know, we would, you know, whenever our, you know, roads would cross with, like, you know, Chicago Open Air or whatever, you know, we'd do festivals and we happened to be playing with one of the Stone Tower or something. Roy was always around. We'd always hang out, you know, and he's just, he's like a bro, you know, so pretty easy. I mean, honestly, and I mean, then this dude just goes ape shit bananas, you know, when he kind of agrees to it, and he wasn't sure he was going to be able to do it. And then he kind of made it happen, and you know, we rehearsed these songs for this past show that we just had in Vegas, the House of Blues. He was rehearsing these songs like 6 hours a day for like 6 weeks.
Hmm.
He's just like, Mr. I'm in it, you know. So he's fantastic, man. He's just a great human and just a banger.
Well,
a smashing drummer.
I think that he feels the weight of having to step in some big shoes, and so that's probably why he was banging away at so many hours every day.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it's like I told him earlier, I'm like, Roy, I'm like, let's just look at it this way. It's going to make it easier on you. You're going to be the fill-in drummer to help us carry the torch for Vinny. You know what I mean? We're not going to try to replace the irreplaceable. And he understood that metaphor. You know what I mean? He's like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? He didn't feel the pressure of, like, us trying to replace Vinny with him, because that's not our concern. What we need is somebody that's going to help us continue to carry the torch for Vinny and Dime, and to continue to carry the legacy of two super inspirational people. You know, yeah, Vinny was such a great teacher on how to carry the torch. You know, he taught us a lot, and I don't feel like it's a burden at all. People are receiving it very, very well. They love Roy. They love the fact that we chose him. Roy is very passionate about it. Roy loved Vinny so much. Vinny loved Roy so much. And it's just a match made in heaven, man. It's like all the pieces fit.
Well, in a way, I was going to say, you guys helped Vinny in the healing process when his brother died, and now Roy is helping you guys.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Vinny mourned and grieved for, you know, a few years, you know, and he did what he was supposed to do. I mean, it's part of the process. You have to mourn and grieve. But then along comes, for, you know, annoying, persistent hell yeah, blowing him up. and I think, you know, it kind of filled a void inside of Vinny that, you know, his brother would have wanted him to play again. You know, it took him a minute, but he came back. And, man, when he came back strong. And hell yeah was his whole life. He loved it. And, I mean, the guy went to the end of the earth for us. He was so generous in everything that he did for the band. His what he brought to the band musically, what he did for the band, you know, financially helping us, what he's done for us personally by giving me not only all of his music that I've been a part of since I was probably 17 years old, but all the great and wonderful memories that he's left me to remember him with over the last 12 years, you know, and he's given so many people those, and that's what we need to embrace now. You know what I mean? Like, put the tissues away. He wouldn't want that. You know, Vinny was Mr. Showtime. Like, he was about having fun and putting smiles on people's faces, very much like Dime. He wouldn't want us mourning and grieving over him anymore. He would want us to remember him and remember the wonderful music he left behind for us and remember the great memories that he left behind for all of us and to embrace that. Now, that's what we intend to do. You know, he'll be forever in my heart. I will love him forever. I know that he loved me very much, and it's really special. And I'm glad we've assembled this group. I'm glad that, you know, the heavy metal community is a loyal family. It's about give and take. It's about helping one another. The metal family helped us worldwide by offering condolences and sending us all their love when we were going through our hard time. And you know what? We did it right back to them. I thought about everybody, because I do believe we're a family. Me and you are brothers. You know what I mean? And we lost a brother. Mm-hmm. You know, so my condolences right back to you as much as you send them to me or anybody else for that matter. You know, I thought about the world of music that lost Vinny, you know, and offered my condolences to them so many times. And, but I think that right now is a really good time for us to embrace what Vinny was really all about. And that was about making people smile and giving and being a better human being. He made me a better man. He really did. Him and Don made me a better human being. And I thank them. I'll be eternally grateful to them for that.
Yeah, all those things you say are true. And I know you got a lot of interviews to do, so we'll let you split. But I got to tell you, man, it's not the same in the NHL playoffs this year without texting back and forth with Vinny. Man, I can't tell you how hard I pulled for Vegas last year. We were going back and forth all the time, and it was great. So.
Yeah, they got kind of dissed this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
You know, Well, he's always here, man.
That's right.
He's going to be with us forever.
Well, Chad, thanks so much.
I appreciate all your support, man. Love your station. Love the town. Been playing there for years, and it's always a good time, man. We cannot wait to get there and rip it up with you guys.
Well, you'll be back here this summer with our friend Roy back there holding things down here. And thank you so much for the time. And, dude, it's really an honor to talk to you again today. It's actually one of the most emotional interviews I've done recently, so I appreciate that.
I appreciate it, too. Thank you so much. The honor's mine. I appreciate you guys.
All right, Chad. Thanks so much for your time, man. We'll see you soon.
All right, brother.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
And there you have it, Chad from Hell Yeah, today on the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast. And I got to tell you, like I said before in the intro, and just there, it's a little more emotional than I thought it was going to be. I mean, you know, Vinny and I weren't tight. We weren't good friends, but Vinny was always great to me. He always had a fist pump for me, a good word. You know, whenever I text him, he'd always text me back. It was one of those things. And just a really solid dude. And definitely I miss him. And of course, the world of heavy metal and hard music, I miss him for sure, as you know, he was definitely one of a kind, along with him and his brother. And man, I could just go on with stories all day long about VP. But anyways, thank you so much for checking that out. If you like this podcast, by all means, if you're on Apple and iTunes and different things like that, 5-star rating, write a review as well. You can even leave a voicemail at 248-586-2988 with any sort of feedback. Normally we do rock news with Al Beck, and sometimes my friend Janelle joins me as well, but we're not going to do that today just because I just want to get this on there today just to have it, you know, so you guys could check it out throughout the weekend. Hey, real fast plug for my friends in the podcast Pod of Thunder, as I'll be a special guest with a killer song that we're going to dissect and dive into. So yeah, you can check that out at Pod of Thunder. In the meantime, as always, thank you so much for listening. Hope you guys dug this interview today with Chad Gray. It was It was a little bit more than I thought, to be quite honest with you. And Chad, like I said, always great to talk to. Hopefully, I can get Roy on coming up here maybe before the tour, maybe during the tour or whatever. I kind of got to know Roy through the Stone Sour guys with Johnny Chow and Corey Taylor and whatnot. So, we'll see if we can get him on coming up here in the future. But like I said, thank you so much for listening. 5-star ratings, reviews, the whole thing, help the podcast grow. And I do appreciate you guys doing that for me. Thanks for listening. We'll do it all over again real soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.